Hello and welcome to the Stooshy, the politics podcast from DC Thompson Media. My name is Paul Malik. I am the Courier's political editor, and I am joined this week from across the country from the DC Thompson politics portfolio in London. We have our Westminster correspondent, Dan O'Donoghue. Good morning, Dan. And in Edinburgh, we have the Press and Journal's political editor, Andy Phillip. Good morning to you both. How are we both keeping? Are we well?
Fully enjoys the spring.
Great stuff, yes. Now, it's fair to say that in Scottish politics, there is no such thing as a dull moment. And late last night, Andy, I believe that you were up scalping a new front page because there was another revelation in the investigation, the inquiry that is investigating the way the Scottish Government handled the Alex Salmond complaints. And it is that the committee seems to have come to a decision before it was supposed to, and has decided that Nicola Sturgeon did indeed mislead Parliament. Can you talk us through that and just what's going on? Because it seems to be changing every single day.
Yes. So the problem here is that the committee's report is not supposed to be published until Tuesday next week. But they've obviously been meeting the MSPs on the committee behind closed doors to argue through the fine points. The problem, of course, is that they are made up of, you know, all the parties in Parliament, and some are on the SNP and the majority are not. And this is leading to, I suppose, accusations that everyone's made up their minds already. Everyone falls along party lines. The SNP think Nicola Sturgeon's played by the book, and Nicola Sturgeon's opponents think she misled Holyrood. Unfortunately, when that comes to a vote, 5-4 yesterday, on a key issue about the one meeting between Alex Salmond and Nicola Sturgeon, they have decided by majority vote that they think that Nicola Sturgeon misled the inquiry. Of course, going right back, it was set up to rake over the remnants of the Scottish Government's attempt to investigate complaints against Alex Salmond. He took that to a judicial review. It was found to be unlawful, tainted with apparent bias. This has exposed all manner of problems which are currently unfolding in a very bad way just before the Holyrood election. Nicola Sturgeon was straight out last night saying that she stands by everything she said. So we're back to where we started, really, except the opposition at the Scottish Parliament now have the cover of an inquiry vote to back up their calls for Nicola Sturgeon to resign. And we're getting very close to the dissolution of Parliament and an election.
So what is the thing she is said to have misled Parliament over? What incident is it pinpointable, or is it quite opaque? Is this why we're finding so many different arms and legs to this story?
The story is so long-winded, and it takes in so many different parts that it's very easy for everything to get lost and people to get the various strands muddled together. But at the heart of this latest twist is a meeting where Alex Salmond and Nicola Sturgeon were together, and it's about whether or not Nicola Sturgeon offered to intervene in the process. Alex Salmond says that she offered to intervene. She said, Nicola Sturgeon says that she didn't. And it's as simple as that. It's a he said, she said. Unfortunately for Nicola Sturgeon, Alex Salmond's lawyer also says that she offered to intervene in the process. So that has led the committee to come to this vote, which we learned about through a leak last night.
And do we know where the leak came from?
Well, no, but it... There was a vote behind closed doors yesterday, but it sent the SNP members into a tailspin, because obviously they think there's a great irony in talking about the conduct of government ministers while a parliamentary committee has MSPs which may or may not be quite willing to just release information before the committee report has, before the ink's dried. So it's yet again, as with most arguments in Parliament, the element of process starts to cloud out the actual nuts and bolts of the matter. which doesn't help, but is to be expected because it suits both sides when that happens.
And Dan, this is something which on the very surface seems like it's an investigation into a procedure, what's going on at the Scottish Parliament, which you wouldn't think would really have much of capture the imagination down south, but it's quite the opposite, in fact, hasn't it? Because David Davis, the Tory MP, decided to wade in and use parliamentary privilege. Can you explain, first of all, what parliamentary privilege is to some of us that might not know? I definitely do, and I'm definitely not pretending that I don't know, just to get you to explain it to me. And then what it is he's said, which has caused yet more stoosh this week.
Well, kind of parliamentary privilege is kind of a bit of a, I suppose, an ancient right bestowed on kind of MPs, that they are afforded kind of more legal protection than the normal citizen. So you're allowed to kind of, you know, go into matters and say things that if you were to say outside of Parliament, you know, you may well get into some legal trouble. You know, there's been a lot during this inquiries, investigation made around the fact that there's, you know, court orders and contempt of court, you know, is an issue. And, you know, people have been very careful and cautious not to wander into territory which might invite kind of a bit of, you know, legal reproach. But, you know, under the guise of parliamentary privilege, which, you know, people may remember, you know, kind of certainly famous cases around super injunctions where MPs have named certain people in the past, and, you know, if a newspaper were to have done that, then it, you know, would have caused, you know, all manner of trouble. But so David Davis, basically, he's kind of took it upon himself to stand up in the Commons and start kind of reading from text messages, which he claims have been passed to him by a whistleblower. And he says they kind of basically indicate possible collusion, perjury, and criminal conspiracy. And he basically says that, you know, the evidence that's been supplied to him shows there's kind of been interference from the highest levels of the SNP in the whole process of the handling of this complaint process. And he also said, you know, he had evidence which kind of basically poked holes in Nicola Sturgeon's testimony about when she learned of certain complaints. I think we can actually hear a clip from that moment now in the Commons.
I have it on good authority that there exists from the 6th of February 2018, an exchange of messages between civil servants Judith McKinnon and Barbara Allison, suggesting the First Minister's Chief of Staff is interfering in the complaints process against Alex Salmon. The investigating officer complained, and I quote, "Liz interference v. bad." I assume that means very bad. If true, this suggests the Chief of Staff had knowledge of the Salmon case in February, not in April, as she has claimed on oath. The First Minister also tied herself to that April date in both parliamentary and legal statements. She was, of course, aware earlier than that. The question is just how aware and how much.
So, you know, what we've just heard there is kind of Davis going over some of the evidence that he has, which obviously he says raises serious questions. You know, as you've probably seen this week, Paul, I mean, Nicola Sturgeon was very quick to kind of dismiss, you know, David Davis and what he was saying. She was saying, I think, in First Minister's questions that it was just kind of symbolic of kind of the old boys club at the heart of Westminster, and you know, things have been taken out of context, and, you know, she stands by the, you know, 8 hours of evidence that she gave to that parliamentary committee. But, you know, certainly David Davis in his debate, you know, he kind of came to the conclusion that given how much evidence has been, you know, blocked from the committee's access, he says that it really shows that Holyrood needs to be given a lot more powers. I think we can hear another clip now, actually, where he kind of sums up that very point.
The Holyrood inquiry has exposed some critical failings at the heart of the Scottish Government. They failed with the complaints process, they failed to heed legal advice, and they failed to honour commitments to ensure a transparent parliamentary review. But perhaps more worryingly, the inquiry has revealed the limits of what the Scottish Parliament can expose. There is a deficit of power, and with it comes a deficit of accountability.
Dan, it's interesting that the phrase "old boys network" is being used, considering, you know, the SNP could be accused of the exact same thing. Nicola Sturgeon was Alex Salmond's deputy leader, after all. And, you know, some circles might say that he taught her everything she knows. Another thing that's been thrown about with regard to this, the findings of whether or not Miss Sturgeon misled Parliament, Andy, is the word knowingly. We noticed that Miss Sturgeon said, you know, a lot of SNP members, said whether or not she knowingly misled Parliament. Can you accidentally mislead Parliament? Is that going to be an argument that they're realistically going to be able to stand up?
Well, it comes down to the code of conduct, which everyone in government is signed up to observe. So if you set out to deceive, then that's a breach. If you are found that you said something which may have misled Parliament, then that doesn't necessarily, hit the threshold for a full breach. The problem is that the weight of all of these things that keep piling up is giving the opposition plenty of ammunition. But it's interesting that in what came out of the committee last night, there was a potential breach, which they've identified, but they haven't used the word she knowingly misled the inquiry. So they've got two accounts. Both sides are sticking to their accounts. So it really then means that to get to the heart of it, we're probably going to have to just wait for another inquiry report, which is being done by a QC, independent of government, which will look specifically at whether Nicola Sturgeon broke the ministerial code. If that report comes back to suggest that she did knowingly or break the guidelines, her position would become much more difficult. But that's the one that the SNP are pointing towards themselves. So when it comes out, that is the one that they're going to have to react to.
That'd be quite the election campaign slogan: never knowingly misled Parliament. Speaking of people who have used communications and election slogans to quite good effect, regardless of how you feel about them politically, is Alistair Campbell. And we have had the privilege, I'd say, at the PNG and the Courier, of publishing his latest diary extracts. Andy, you've been playing your way through them. There's been quite a lot of revelations that we've been able to unearth in them. And the ones that we have specifically focus on the sort of immediate aftermath of the independence referendum in 2014 and the subsequent election in 2015. What tidbits can you tell us from Mr. Campbell's latest, Andy?
Yeah, well, this was an amazing little trip down memory lane for me, having covered the SNP's landslide victory in 2011 and then watched the very, very slow build to 2014 and everything that's come afterwards. So going back and getting a peek at what Alistair Campbell was seeing from his vantage point was quite illuminating. There's brilliant flashbacks to just before 2011 as well, where you can see Labour starting to realise that things are changing right underneath their feet. And then we move forward significantly to the panic in the ranks, basically. The first poll that put Yes ahead really close to the referendum, everything that happened afterwards. But what stood out, certainly in today's coverage, was the relationship that Alistair Campbell was building with his political foe, basically, Alex Salmond. And they had a strange encounter in Aberdeen where Alistair Campbell was interviewing Alex Salmond. And we have in the paper today about how the offer was made for Alistair Campbell to join a negotiating team should Scotland have voted yes. So Alex Salmond could obviously identify the talents that he thought he would need for branding Scotland on the international stage, regardless of everything that had gone before. I mean, think about how bitter the SNP and Labour were over things like the Iraq War. Alistair Campbell was right there with Tony Blair in those days. We move forward from there. It's not all party political either. We learn about the attempts to enlist other people in the campaign. Tomorrow we're revealing some back backroom chats between Alistair Campbell and very famous faces, including former Aberdeen manager Alec Ferguson, and what the repeated attempts that Downing Street were trying to make to find faces that Scots would perhaps accept as worth listening to on what was becoming just a really tense few weeks in the run-up to the vote. And we've got more on Monday up our sleeves as well, having ploughed through the later stages of the diary, where we get slightly closer to the post-referendum election, which saw the end of the coalition and Ed Miliband's failed attempt as well to get into power and everything that went with it, with more on Alex Salmond's very surprising attempts to find a little bit more relevance in what had completely changed. The landscape of politics had changed entirely by that point.
Alex Ferguson, of course, was that famous also for playing for Clyde FC. Dan, how much, obviously Alistair Campbell was a really important player in the lobby and sort of domineering presence in Westminster during the latter half of the 90s and the early 90s. Does he still have that same presence in Westminster, or is it more of a shadow? Is he still got a lot of say, and does he still have a lot of know-how of what's going on in the inner workings, you know, behind closed doors where you are?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's never off the telly, is he? I mean, every time I switch, honestly, Alistair Campbell. But I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, he has got a lot of respect down here, I think, amongst journalists. I mean, I suppose it kind of, for a lot, certainly, of kind of some of my older colleagues, it kind of takes them back to the golden, better old days where, you know, the lobby briefings used to be held inside Number 10 Downing Street with Alistair Campbell every day. And I think, you know, compared to the situation we've got nowadays, it's certainly, you know, the kind of battles that we spoke about on this podcast last year where, you know, there'd be kind of only certain access for some friendly newspapers, and, you know, sometimes Number 10 would cancel briefings. And, you know, for a lot of lobby journalists, he certainly kind of carries a bit of nostalgia and romanticism about how it used to be. You know, and I think during the whole Brexit process, he's kind of been one of the most, you know, fiercest and vocal critics for, you know, that pro-European argument. So he kind of, you know, he kind of became a personality in his own right, you know, in a sense of, you know, he kind of became that defender of, you know, or the person against Brexit. But I mean, he is still a big name, I think, definitely down here.
So lots to expect over the coming days on the Courier and Press and Journal websites, and indeed in print. Now, speaking of things that might have been popular last in the early 2000s, semi-regular listener of the show will remember that we sometimes do this thing called Stoosh of the Week, and Celebrity Big Brother contestant and Saddam Hussein fancier George Galloway has landed himself in it once again with a rather stupid tweet that he's put out on social media, claiming that Hamza Yousaf is a poseur. Is it poseur or poseur? How are people pronouncing that? I mean it as poseur, but in a French accent.
Well, that's the irony, because you can imagine George Galloway saying it in a posy accent.
Yeah, I am the poseur. Yeah.
He is a man wearing a fedora hat.
It's how everyone that comes from Lockheed speaks.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, he's landed himself in it again, and he just seems, he's coming across as maybe more of an annoyance than someone that people are going to take seriously. Andy, I believe that he's going to be on your ballot paper in the upcoming election. Does that fill you with confidence that, you know, that there's a wealth of talent to choose from?
It is quite astonishing, really. George Galloway, I think, was briefly my local MP when I was a student a million years ago in Glasgow somewhere. But since then, yeah, everything has changed dramatically. And now he's popped up on my regional list. But in a much, you know, the regional list, which stretches from Stranraer to North Berwick, it's a strange place. And he's going up against fairly strong pockets of Conservative support too, especially in the southwest. So this bizarre jettisoning of his really left-wing committed politics in order to just join a an alliance simply against the SNP is putting him with some very unlikely bedfellows. And, you know, lots has been said about what this means about George Galloway's attitudes, but regardless of his own personal opinions, he seems to be quite happy to attract the support of people regardless of their, choosing my words carefully here, he seems to be attracting people who may hold views diametrically opposed to the ones he's always espoused in the past.
One might say he is being a bit of a Trumpist populist. I think that's fair to say if you're calling one of two Pakistani members of Parliament not Scottish or deciding whether or not they can be Scottish just because of where you were born and the colour of your skin. So without further ado, I think we give George Galloway the Stoosh of the Week.
Stoosh of the Week.
That's all we've got time for this week. Thank you very much for listening. You can pick us up on all of your podcast providers same time next week. Please remember and accept no imitations. I've been Paul Malik. Thanks to Dan and Andy for joining us. Goodbye.
The Stooshy is the politics podcast from DC Thompson Media, bringing together political journalists and commentators from all over the country so that you are better briefed. Teams at The Courier, The Press and Journal, The Evening Telegraph and The Evening Express work hard every day, online and in print, to bring you careful reporting and analysis to help you understand the implications of what happens in Holyrood, Westminster and beyond. Subscribe to The Stooshy today, recommend us to friends and family, rate and review it if you have a moment, and let us know what you think of what we cover and how we cover it on Twitter and Facebook. We're Stooshy Scott on both. Be better briefed with The Stooshy from DC Thompson Media.